Man, rest is good. Ain't rest good? So good. Matthew chapter 17. I'm not going to keep you too long today. Matthew 17. I think you done got it. Yep. 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples of Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing. Look at the person beside you and say, nothing. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Man, what a word. What a word. We could probably go home right now if we believe that, but I got to preach to you to make us believe this. Amen. You can be seated. Man, what a story. Several of the gospel writers have decided to put this and put it in the exact same spot after the Mount of Transfiguration experience. Jesus comes down. And if you don't know about that, you need to read about it, because that was probably one of the greatest events that ever took place in human history. He took three of his disciples up to the mountain, and they got to see something that nobody had ever seen before. It was Jesus being transfigured before their eyes. Basically, the glory on the inside was shown about on the outside. That flesh was concealing something. Amen? Because in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let me say it like this. Jesus didn't dwell in the Godhead. The Godhead dwelt in Jesus. If you don't know what that means, then you need to figure it out. Because he was transfigured. And along came Moses and Elijah. And Peter made this mistake. He said, man, this is a good place to be. Let's build three tabernacles. Let's build three temples so that we can honor each one. Somehow putting Moses and Elijah on the same plane as Jesus. I want to let you know, the law and the prophets could never do what Jesus did. Though they tried, Doug, to reveal who God was through law and through prophecy, there was only one perfect image bearer of the Father, and that was the Son, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The law was flawed in the problem was it was weak through the flesh. The prophet's problem was they only understood in part. They could only get part of it. But the fullness of the whole thing dwelt in Jesus, and Moses and Elijah were nowhere near what Jesus was. It was the problem when Jesus showed up, the Jews were still worshiping Moses because of the law giving and the prophets. But Jesus let them know grace and truth came through him, and there's only one avenue, and that's him. Can you say amen? That's not my sermon, though. But man, that whole mountain is awesome. Because then when they look back, Perry, Moses and Elijah is gone. And the Bible said there's only one Jesus. Jesus only was left there. Because when God chose to reveal himself to mankind in a perfect way, he did it through Jesus Christ. any revelation that you think you have outside of the revelation of Jesus Christ, question it if you don't see it in him. Can I preach this for a minute? I know this ain't my sermon, but I got to tell you this, and I know some of you know it, some of you don't, but we got to get this. God would reveal himself in the Old Testament through different names, and he would reveal himself in different attributes in the Old Testament. El Shaddai, El Adonai, and all of these names, and El would be a revelation of who he was. But he chose once and for all to reveal himself to mankind in the perfect way. And he told Mary, he said, that thing that's going to be born of you, you shall call him Emmanuel, being God with us. And you're going to call his name Jesus, because he's going to save the people from their sins. And he said, I'm going to give him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. I can't wait for the day that Adolf Hitler bows his knee to a Jew and says, Jesus, you are Lord. Man, what a day, what a savior. They're on the mountain and they come down and there's a man and there's a multitude, there's a crowd of people. And this man brings his son out of the crowd. One man came out of the crowd. Listen to me really close. The crowd was gathered round, but one man stepped out of the crowd. One man stepped forward. One man stepped up. Some people had needs and they didn't get them met because they never stepped up. They were satisfied with being part of the crowd. But this man had a need, and his need was his son was in trouble. This story, Johnny, as I read it, man, it messes with me really hard. Because they said, oftentimes he would fall in the fire, and oftentimes he would fall in the water. My question is, what kind of parent would allow this to happen often? When I read the story, it said it would happen often. He would fall into the fire. Often he would fall into the water. The problem was, these parents, no doubt, loved their son, but there had to be moments when it was so weary to take care of him, and or they would see signs of improvement. They would watch him and say, I think he's okay now. Can you just imagine the hysteria when you thought everything was all right, and then all of a sudden you hear him back out in the fire because there's something broken? I can't imagine being this dad or his mother as oftentimes. I thought you were watching him. I thought you were watching him. Where did he go? He was doing good. I thought he had overcame this. But where's he at now? He's back out in the fire. How many scars did this boy have? How many issues did he have? There's something wrong. I can only imagine how many times he dealt with him. Come here, Ian. He said, my little boy. I imagine how many times dad walked with him like this. How many times he kept his hand on him, right? This is just me imagining what's going on here. How many times would he hold him to make sure that he didn't wind up in those situations? But Nolan, there had to be times when he gave indication that it was okay, and he would take his hand off. And he said, oftentimes, we look sometimes at the behavior of people, and we think because the behavior is a little better for the moment that everything's all right. Listen real close. This isn't based on behavior. This is based on regeneration. Oh, no. Now, let me say that again. You say, well, the problem was the doctor checked him over And he said it's a problem in his mind, and it's a chemical this or it's a chemical that, or the problem is he inherited this from, and it's in his gene, and this gene does that, and that gene does this, and there's always a reason that we try to label things to let everybody know that it's okay. But I'm here to tell you, there is an enemy, and his job is to destroy, and it ain't always about genes, and it ain't always about behavior. It goes deeper sometimes. I want him to be healed, and I can just imagine it. You stay here. You stay here. You stay here. You good, buddy? I'm good. I'm good. And the next thing you know, gone. And he's back into it again, over and over and over. So the man does what he can. He brings him to the disciples. Now, I want us to get this, and I want to get this really quick. I really think that Jesus expected them to be able to heal him. Because I don't know if you noticed or not, when he brings him to Jesus and he says, I took him to your disciples and they couldn't heal him. I don't know if you get the tone or not, but it don't seem like Jesus is too thrilled with the idea that they could not heal him. Are you with me? Oh, ye faithless and perverse generation, don't sound like kind words to me. You've been in a place where you expected somebody to be able to do something and they didn't do it? How'd that go over for you? Have you ever made this statement, can't you do anything? Can't you get anything right? What is your problem? How many times have I told you? How many times have I showed you? Well, let's be honest, some people play dumb so they don't have to do much. Where little is known, little is required. Tracy asked me not long ago, she asked me to do something and I messed it up. And she said, did you do it on purpose? I wouldn't ask you to do it. Showed him over and over and over and over and over. Don't touch the fire. Don't touch the fire. Don't go in the water. Don't touch the fire. Don't go in the water. Hey, the disciples are in town. But Jesus was missing. And three of the disciples were missing. Three of the closest disciples were missing. Oh. You say, oh, Jesus got favorites? No, Jesus got some people that walks closer to him than others. Some people are satisfied on the outskirts of town. Somebody's got to be right in there with him. I want to motivate you to not be one of those, but to be one of the inner circle where you're in there real close so that you know and you can hear his very heartbeat. Like John, what are you waiting for? I'm not satisfied on the outside. I got to get on the inside. I want to be there when Elijah and Moses shows up. I want to be one of the three that he says, don't tell anybody else what you saw. I don't know about you, but I want to see things that are unlawful to tell. And who says I can't? Brings him to Jesus and he bows down. He bows down to him and he says, I brought him to your disciples. It's amazing what the Bible calls him, because we call people that. Especially when people speed down the interstate. Like, man, did you see that lunatic? If they go too slow, they're an idiot. Why won't this idiot go? If they go too fast, they're a lunatic. Look at that lunatic. You are never satisfied. He said, my son, he's a lunatic. He's in the fire. He's in the water. Just when we think we got it. When we think it's under control, he's gone again. Man, I need help. This parent has love for his son. And as long as he stays in the crowd, everything remains the same. As long as we keep it status quo, everything remains the same. Some people won't worship unless the crowd is worshiping. Some people won't raise their hand unless somebody beside them is raising their hand. God's looking for a people that's willing to step out of the crowd and say, God, I need you. I need you. I don't care what this person beside me needs. I need you. We try to excite you and pump you and prime you and sing to you and sing good songs. We're not singing hymns, people. Some of y'all wouldn't make it in the church that some of us grew up in. You'd be asleep in 15 seconds. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Greater, Lord, than all my sin and shame. Higher than a mountain, flowing like a fountain. All-sufficient grace for even me. For even me. Broader than the scopes of my transgressions. Greater, Lord, than all my sin and shame. Drum roll. So magnify the precious name of Jesus. Yeah, I get it, man. Get it. Praise his name. You'd have been asleep before they got to the good part. Man, we try to get you excited. We try to come out and get it right. Worship with us. Make it enticing. Why do we do that? To make the atmosphere conducive for you to step out and give some things to Jesus. I want you to walk out of here today empty-handed. Things that you have been carrying, I want you to leave them here today. I want you to walk out of here different than when you walked in. And you know what? I believe I serve a God that's able to take whatever you have been carrying and carry it for you. What are you carrying? What is the thing that you're holding on to that you need to give him? How many people missed a blessing that day in that multitude? He was just transfigured. Something awesome had just happened. Jesus was walking off that mountain after performing something that had never been performed before. And when it was all said and done, the law was gone. The prophets were gone. And there was only one, Jesus. If this man ever was in the right place at the right time, it was that day. He'd been dealing with this for a long time, Perry. He'd been struggling with this for a long time. But today was a day that would be different than every other day. Back up, Jacob, if you would. I want you to see this again. Verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." Man, that is powerful. Because the truth is, our faith should be elevated to a place far higher than we have it elevated at this time. Is anybody with me? Oh, come on, preacher. Don't preach negative. I'm not preaching negative. I'm preaching real. We're getting ready to turn this thing around. How are we going to turn it around? Because what we got to realize is first who we are. Second, well, let me do that. First, we got to realize who he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Man, they sang that song. I was about ready to shout. If y'all don't know what shout means, that means dance in church. Oh, man. When I was singing that song, I started thinking about the great I am and how awesome he really is. When I go to the depths of the earth, he's there. When I go to the highest mountain, he's there. Man, I'm telling you, if you got in a spaceship and you went as high as you could go, he's there. If you went 20,000 leagues under the sea, he's there. No matter where you went, if you went back in time as far as you could go, he's there. If you went to the future as far as you could go, he's there. That's the God I serve, and I'm here to tell you that God exists in eternity, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think by the power that works in us. I want to preach to somebody today, because we're carrying this lunatic around, and you know what? We love our lunatic. I didn't call it that. Don't give me dirty looks. The Bible did. Y'all looking at me like, don't say that word. Kid was crazy, man. There was something deeper in there. You know what? Some people like to get attention from things that are holding them back. We become accustomed to it. We maximize it. Are y'all with me? We maximize it so that we can get things out of it. This man was tired. I want to talk to you. Do you ever get tired of carrying around what you're carrying around? Some people in this room have went through things that you can't imagine. They're not going to tell you. Some things that have happened to some people in this room is so embarrassing they'd never let you know because they thought it was their fault. Oh, the devil's got a way of twisting things. For year after year after year, I'm carrying this around, and I think it's better. And just the moment that I think it's better, I'm in trouble again. I'm taking it to get it fixed this time. I'm taking it to get it fixed. I get to the disciples. They can't fix it. I'm in trouble again. Now what do I do? Some of us would have just said, oh, this is my lot in life. This is what I have to deal with. I can't. Let me tell you something. Some of you went through relationship problems and the devil told you it's your fault. Sometimes you seriously were just married to a lunatic. You went through relationship problems and the devil's tried to make it feel like it's your problem and you're still carrying that around. I want to get you free today and let you know the devil is a liar. Yeah. The dad had a problem and David got accustomed to trying to control the problem. Oh, are you with me? Got it. I got it under control now. I got it. I got it. I got it. Then all of a sudden, back into the fire, back into the water, over and over and over, back into it. You think you won the battle. You hadn't won the battle. It comes back up. Jesus makes this comment. I'm about ready to let you go. He said, bring it to me. Bring him hither to me. Bring it to me, because when you bring it to me, things will change when you bring it to me. Bring him hither to me. Next verse, hurry, verse 18. I gotta let y'all go early. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. I hear people saying this. They say, nowhere in Scripture does it tell you to rebuke the devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. When Jesus speaks to the devil has no power to overcome when Jesus speaks. Oh, he had him for a long time. Things were getting ready to change. He had been bound for a long time. Things were getting ready to change. Why? Because Jesus started talking. You know what I need? I need a word from God. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, I've got something to fight with. When the enemy comes in and says, you'll never get free, I'm here to tell you, today's your day of freedom. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, you can walk out of here free at last. You know what I'm talking about. Each one of us has something we're holding on to and trying to control. Some people in this room use a lot of energy just so you don't see their craziness. And you know what's funny? Some of them are sitting in your row. And if you didn't look around to see who it was, because it's probably you. You think it's Johnny? You think it's Thomas? Everybody thinks it's somebody else. Some of you are sitting there thinking, man, I wish so-and-so was here. We're all dealing with something. We're all holding on to something that we're trying to control. And sometimes the truth is it gets tiring. And you know what you do? Sometimes you just let it go. You ever seen people got crazy dogs? They hold them back and hold them back and hold them back, and then finally they just go, psh. And the dog takes off. You know how many times I'm tired of hearing he won't bite you. He won't bite you. You can't control him. You let him go because you can't control him, and you're telling me that you got control that he won't bite me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's some things. Say, oh, it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. You can't control it, and you're trying to tell me it won't hurt me? You can't control it, and you're telling me it won't hurt me? I went to Jason O'Neill's house, and his cats are crazy. I don't like cats anyway. I think it's hereditary. I think it's something that's passed down. And I went in his house, and that cat came in the living room and looked at me. I put my shoe back on. I said, Jason, I will kick your cat plumb across this kid. I don't even know if that's preacher-like. I don't even know if that's legal to go in a guy's house and put your shoe back on and get threatened. Oh, don't worry. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you. Yes, it will. You're trying to control some things. And the devil's convincing you it won't hurt you, and it will. So he has his hand, no doubt. This is the way I picture this. He brings him up. You know how. Come here. Sorry, I wish you were littler. And he brings him up. You know how. Let me. There we go. Yeah, this is better. There came a point that man had to let go. No, let me say it again. There came a point that he had to let Jesus have him. There's some things you just need to let go of. Quit holding on to them. They are wearing you out. And you think you're doing a service when he's saying, just bring it to me. Bring it to me. Listen, every person in this room, he died so that you might have rest. He said, come to me, all ye that are weary, and I will give you what? Give you rest. Give you rest. He wants to give you rest. He wants to take the very thing that you need to let go. Listen, I appreciate you, Doug. Every service, almost every service, he comes up here in a prayer line because he's given some things away. That shouldn't just be one of us. That should be all of us every service. Everybody says, that's a long prayer line. Do it from your pew. Do it from somewhere. Don't be sitting there meandering around in your head while we're praying for lost souls when you got lost souls in your family that we need to give to him. We got troubled people in our families that we need to give to him. We all need to be letting it go so that he can take it. But you got to come out of the crowd. You got to step out. You say, you know what? My need's greater. Today it's greater. You know how hard it is to ask for help? Anybody? I'll handle it. I'll handle it. You know how many times people call me and say, I don't want to bother you? I'm like, you're not bothering me. They'll call and talk about Bible and say, I'm sorry to bother you. Bother me? Talking about Bible? It's my favorite subject. Call me and talk about Bible. We're having a blast. You're not bothering me. We don't want to bother anybody. Some of us have prayed that we died early before we got into a position where we were burdened on somebody else. Amen. He said, bring it to me. I'll give you rest. Simple sermon, but somebody's going to let go of something today. Because when I say that something, you know what you've been holding on to. I don't want you to walk out of here with it. You got a spouse that's lost and you've been holding on to it and you're letting that drive you crazy? Let it go today. Give it to him today. Come on, Aaron. Let's do this. Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him. You ever seen the Francis Chan rope thing? Have y'all seen that? He takes a rope, and it's a long rope, and it goes for a real, and he's got this little section of it taped off about this wide. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And he says, this is the beginning of your life, and this is the end, and the rope is eternity. And he says, here's what we do. We put so much emphasis on this one little section. And we say, I'm going to work until I get right here. And when I get right here, I'm going to retire about right there. And after I retire, I'm going to rust. And then I'm going to die about right here. And that's the end of the section. But I see that rope a little bit different. Because after that section, there's an overlapping section. And there's a generation that's coming after us that we can change some things in our section that will overlap and change things in their section. No, listen really, really close to this because this is cool. My kid doesn't have to deal with things that I had to deal with because God intervened and now my section will overlap his section and my grandkids will not see things that I had to see because my section overlapped their section. I don't know if you know this or not, but I serve a God that's not just trying to make one generation well. He's looking at the next generation. You say, oh, that was in his gene. Well, I'm telling you, God regened him. He regenerated. Generated that boy at that moment. At that moment, now that's not going to get passed down to his son because he was made whole. I'm here to tell you things we do in this service right now can change things for the next generation. But Joe, if we keep carrying it around, we're going to pass it on. We got to let it go right now. So here's what we're going to do. As an act of faith, if you've got something that you need to let go today, as an act of faith, I want you to stand to your feet. If you're good, remain seated. There's nothing you need to let go of. I want you to remain seated. But if you've got something in your life that you need to let go of today, see, man, you're not alone. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hold your hands out, both hands out, closed. Close both hands. Close it. Hold it out. Hold it out. Hold it out. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I want you to imagine what it is. God, I got a lost spouse. I'm giving it to you. God, I got a lost child. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm giving this to you. God, I'm tired of carrying this around. And on zero, I want you to open up your hands. I want you to let it go. 3, 2, 1, 0. Now with those hands in that position, that's a good spot to be in. Since you laid it down, they should be lighter now. Oh, they should be lighter now. God, I gave it to you right now. Now by faith, I want you to believe that he rebuked whatever it was. That part of you will be made whole from this day forward. Man, I'm speaking faith today. I want somebody's life to be changed in this service. As we sing this song, would you worship? If you need prayer, we're here to pray with you. If you need to surrender, we're here to help you.